You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel's call and response. Hineni. How many know the word hineni? Hineni. Well, I'm going to give you a little different definition of it today, a little more to it. But isn't it a great word? Let's say hineni. Hineni. All right. You just said a profane word in Hebrew. No, just it's a great word. It's not a bad word. It's a great word. It's usually translated "Here I am," "Here am I," and it means that, but it's more than that. So the third chapter of 1 Samuel describes God's revelation to Samuel, which lifts him into his call as a prophet. And it begins with a strange summons into God's presence to be followed by, though, a bitter pill of having to convey a message of calamity, actually, to Eli's house, to his mentor's house. So, Father, we pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. That's our prayer, Lord. Pray, speak to us through your word now. Gali nai ve'avitani flaot me toratecha. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open our eyes, Lord, to speak to us through your word, we pray, in the name of our Messiah. Amen. So let's look at this. 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was in the service of Adonai under Eli, it says. And in the service of Adonai, he's serving the Lord. You know, Paul often begins his letters with Paul in the New Covenant, Paul a servant of God, a servant of the Messiah. I'm serving the Lord, you know, in his service. That's the same idea here. And a question we could ask ourselves is, what is your occupation or career? Whatever it is, you're also called to be God's servant. Your career is important, and that's how you serve the Lord, but you're called to serve him through it and apart from it as well in every way. And he's under Eli, and so a question we could ask is, he says, under Eli, who are you under? You know, who are you under? You say, well, I'm not under anybody. I do my own thing. I do what I want to do. Here's a couple of good verses on that. I haven't taught on this in years, but I'll just give you a few verses. There's a lot of it could give you. But Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their faith and imitate their faith. And verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as ones who must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no benefit to you. And then Paul goes on to say, pray for us. We're convinced we have, you know, we want to be doing the right thing. We pray. Pray for us. But we need to be under, God places us under authority, spiritual authority, so that we can grow and we can develop and learn. And doesn't mean there's no perfect authority, obviously, definitely is not, but we need God to lead us in that. Who are we under? I could mention and say 1 Timothy 5:17 is a good verse on that too. But then it says, in those days, the word of the Lord, the word of Adonai, was rare. And this word can mean scarce, it can mean covered, it can mean withheld. It says vision was not widespread, and most believe that to be prophecy. Well, interesting. So the word of God was rare in those days. And is it today? Is in our day, is the word of God rare? You know, I thought of that when I read that. I thought of God spoke so loudly during. How many were around for the Jesus People movement in the, I guess it was early 70s and late 90s, and late 60s, early 70s? Well, God did something miraculous there, right? Many, many people were coming to know the Lord here, and many Jewish people came to the Lord. Many connect that with the recapturing of Jerusalem in 67, that after that unleashed God starting to fulfill end-time prophecy regarding the return of the Jewish people. You know, the natural branches being grafted back in Romans 11 into their own olive tree and all sorts of things. So, and I agree. And so what, you know, what is God doing? You know, think about revivals. Some here maybe have studied revivals throughout history and how God worked in various ways.
And as we pray, you know, God can, maybe he's ready to do it again. We believe, many believe he is. So exciting. And by the way, if you come up to the Messiah Conference, you'll really see what's happening too. A lot of coming from Israel, and that's a great opportunity there. But if not, watch it online, as I said, in the evening services. And but let's look at, move on. Verse 3, he said, it says, and the lamp of God, what was the lamp of God there? Right, very good. The menorah, yeah, the menorah or the menorah. The menorah, the lampstand in the temple there in the holy place. And it says, the lamp of God, where I lost my place. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. One day Eli was lying down in his place, and his eyes had grown dim, so he could not see. And the lamp of God, verse 3, had not gone out. So it was nighttime. We know that it was nighttime. This means because the menorah would burn from dusk until dawn. So it's nighttime. And Samuel's lying down in Adonai's temple where the ark of God was, and then the Lord calls him by name. So think about it. I was thinking, when does God ever speak to you in the nighttime? How many have ever experienced God speaking to us nighttime? I have a number of times. And when God spoke to Jacob in Genesis 46:2, I was looking it up, a few verses about that. He said, Jacob, Jacob, twice, like Samuel, twice, Genesis 46:2, and it was nighttime then. And he told him not to fear going down. He just had learned that his son Joseph was still alive. That news came to him, and he was afraid, though. He wasn't sure to go. He's very old to go down to Egypt. God said, don't be afraid. Go down to Egypt and see your son. Don't fear. You're going to see him. So that was during the nighttime. And listen to some of these other times. At Gibeon, God came to Solomon. Solomon was even, not even, he was still, he loved the Lord at that point in his life, loved the Lord, had a heart, loved the Lord, but he was still sacrificing to other gods in the high places. And the Lord there, when he's doing that, came to him in a dream at night. So God can come to you even when you're backslidden, even when you're not doing maybe something that's right, but God can come and speak to you. And he said, ask what I shall give you, 1 Kings 3:5. And remember, what did Solomon ask for? Right, wisdom, chachma, wisdom. He said, give me wisdom. I need your wisdom on how to lead my people, your people, rather. And so that is a time. And then how about in Psalm, listen to this, Psalm 16, verse 7, it says, at night my heart instructs me. Psalm 17, 3, you visit me at night. Psalm 63, 7, I meditate on you through the night watches. Also, Psalm 77, 7, and Psalm 119, 155. There's many verses. Isaiah 26, 9, he says, I've desired you in the night. And Daniel, three times in Daniel chapter 7, it was in the night visions. He talked about having night visions from the Lord. Yeshua in, in Matthew 14, 25 through 27, when he came walking on the sea of the Kinneret, Sea of Galilee or the Kinneret, he was walking and it was still in the nighttime. And he said, take courage, I'm with you. I am, he said, fear not. Then in Acts, look at Acts, just give you this one and then we'll move on. But Acts chapter 18, interesting, because in Acts 16, Paul came to, the Lord rather appeared to Paul, or a man appeared in a vision, and he said, he was in Troas, and he said, come to Macedonia and help us. Remember that? Come to Macedonia, Acts 16, 9. That was at nighttime. And that was, Paul made a change in his direction to go, to his plans, to go and reach people there. And then in Corinth, this is Acts 18, 9, Paul is visited by the Lord. Look at Acts 18. I'm going to read in verse, they were debating in verse 4. He was debating every Shabbat, every Sabbath, every Shabbat in the synagogue, trying to persuade both Jewish and Greek people. You know, if some people believe it doesn't really matter, you know, what you believe, well, if he didn't matter, he wouldn't have been trying to persuade people. He wouldn't have been going to everywhere he could to convince people that Yeshua was the Messiah, Jewish and Greek people. And then down further, he says, urgently testifying, that's verse 5, the end of verse 5, urgently testifying to the Jewish people that Yeshua is the Messiah. But when they resisted, they shook their garments, he shook out his garments, rather. He said, your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm going to the nations. I've had it. And so he never went to Jewish people again. Look at down at verse 8. Crispus, it says, after leaving, well, verse 7, after Paul went into the house of a man called Titus Justus, a God-fearer whose house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the synagogue leader, put his faith in the Lord. So here he's still reaching Jewish people all over again, even though he just said that. And that happened earlier in Acts also, 13 and 14. He said, I've had it, I'm going to the Gentiles. And he went right back to Jewish people as well and still continued. The Romans 1:16, the gospel's to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, to everyone. But even if you get rejected, you don't give up. And he said, and it says, and many, the whole household of Crispus became believers. His whole household, and then many of the Corinthians upon hearing were believing and being immersed. Now look at verse 9. They were being immersed at mikvahs. And now the Lord said to Paul through a vision in the night, do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one shall attack you to harm you. Many people in this city are for me. I like still like the old King James on that one. Says, I have much people in this city. I have many people that are yet to believe, and so he stayed a whole year and a half there teaching the word among them. Verse 11 says, "What a beautiful story!" So it happened again in Acts 23:11 in the nighttime. Yeshua appears to Paul in a vision, and he's in Jerusalem. He says, "Be of good cheer, Paul. You'll continue to bear witness to testify of me of Rome also." So, many things can happen in the nighttime, or just before dawn sometimes, or you know, and God can speak to you in that way. Look at verse 4. Adonai called Samuel. Called his name. Now, where was he? Well, we're not sure. There's different ideas. But was he sleeping near the Aron, the Ark of God, from where God speaks? It seems like he was there. But then other rabbis said that Samuel was lying in the Levitical quarters outside the temple area. And so they believe maybe God's voice bypassed Eli and to reach Samuel in the Levitical quarters. Make up your own mind as you study it. But God says to Samuel, back in 1 Samuel 3, he calls him by name, doesn't he? Verse 4, he says to him, Samuel, Shmuel, Shmuel. And so he answered, and what's the word in Hebrew? Hineni, here I am, is how it translates here, and most translations do it that way. He says, Shmuel, and he said, Hineni. And then he ran to Eli and said, Hineni, you called me, here I am. You called me. And imagine, you know, if the Lord had just said, hey, you. But he didn't. He called him by name. He says, and he calls you by name and me by name. It's what a beautiful thing. Imagine if you're a teacher in the classroom and your teacher, in your class, or you're a student in your class, and your teacher calls you by name. Or if they don't, what a difference it makes if a teacher knows the names of the students. I'd have a real hard job with that, because I have a hard time remembering names. I wish I was better at it, but people give their all sorts of clues and things you can try. But you know, but anyway, I do my best. But you know what? It means a lot. God calls us by name, not just, hey you, and Isaiah 43. Say your name right now aloud, just to yourself. Say your name. Ken. Say my Ken. All right? Think of God speaking to your name. God's calling your name. And we're going to see he calls it twice, too, then here. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says Adonai, the one who created you, O Jacob, and the one who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Beautiful. Li atah, it says. I translate that, to me you are. That's how you literally translate it. Li atah, you, to me you are. Karati b'shimcha, I've called you by your name, and then to me you are, li ata. The word call, kara, let's say kara, it means to summon. And listen to this, it means to summon, and it also means to cause change in direction. To cause change in direction. God summons me. He awakens me out of sleep, maybe, out of a stupor, to join him in his work. And it's an invitation when he calls us, it's an invitation from the highest authority. And responding to him, when I respond to him with Hineni, and I'm going to mention, explain that. When I respond to him, it will cause a change in my present direction. It will cause a change in my present direction. I am not my own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to the Lord. I belong to him. And he desires me. He desires you. I love Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, 7:10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me, is toward me or for me. Isaiah 49:1, Adonai called me from the womb. From my mother's belly, he named me. Exodus 33:17, to Moses, he said, I will do what you have said, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. John 10, where Sean quoted earlier, John 10:3-14, he says, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Jeremiah 1:5, when God called Jeremiah, says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart, appointed you a prophet to the nations. And we read in the responsive reading from Psalm 139, such a beautiful psalm, such a powerful psalm, how God knows every bit about us. We won't read it now, but he knows everything about it, about you. And calls you. So seven people in the Bible that God called and spoke their name two times like he does here to Samuel. Because if you go down here, the Lord called Samuel yet again, verse 6. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Hineni, you called me. And Eli doesn't know what's going on. He thinks he's just hearing things. And he's kind of dull spiritually. He's older and very seems a little dull here. He says, but he answered, I didn't call you, my son. Go back to sleep. Samuel did not experience Adonai yet, since the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. I'm in verse 7. Adonai called Samuel again the third time. So he got up and went to Eli and said, Hineni, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that Adonai was calling the boy. Now he finally realizes it. So he said to Samuel, go back to sleep. And if he calls you, say, speak, Adonai, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back and lay down in his place. Then Adonai came and stood and called, as at the other times. And there it is twice, Shmuel, Shmuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening here, listening. So twice God says his name here. Maybe he'd done this, it said, as the other times. But it just records it as once. But who can name, can you think of seven people? I have my list here, so I'm cheating. But who else did God say their name twice to in the Bible? Can anyone think of anyone? Saul, yes, Saul, right. Shaul, it would have been in Acts 9. Who else? Abraham, someone said, Mike, Abraham, yep. Abraham in Genesis 22, anyone else? We already mentioned one earlier, I think. Yeah. What's that? Okay, yeah. Okay. Very good, Peter. What's that? I don't have Gideon down here. I don't think so, but check it out and let us know. Jacob, Genesis 46. Okay, who brought the Torah? who gave the Torah? Moses, all right, Moses given the Torah, Exodus 3, Moses, Jacob, Genesis 46, Abraham, 22, all right, of course, Samuel right here, who else you got Saul, who else in the New Testament, New Covenant? I don't think so. Twice. What's that? Peter, yes. Peter in Luke 22. Simon, Simon. Simon, Simon. Shimon, Shimon. All right, one other female, woman. Martha, got it, Martha. Luke 10, this is really good. Okay, doing great. Martha, Martha. Now, if there are others, yeah, feel free to email them into or whatever, because there may be. That's all I found. Martha, Martha in Luke chapter 10. You know, Martha, Martha, oh, you're troubled about so many things. Only one thing is needful. Miriam has chosen that good thing. Remember, it won't be taken away from her. Beautiful. She's all nervous about her nervous service. She's all busy. And he says, one thing is, Miriam was sitting at his feet, hearing his word, because as we receive from him, we have the best service we serve in his power, not ours. But Shmuel, Shmuel, Moses from the burning bush, of course, and all these incidents. All right, so here's a question. What was the tone of God's voice, of God's call? The pitch. You ever think about that? When God says the name, was it harsh? Was it tense? Abraham, Abraham! Was it impulsive? Or was it calm? Still small voice. The voice of, it's really Simon Garfunkel. In the Hebrew, that's really what it means. The voice, the sound of silence is what it literally says in the Hebrew. The still small voice is the sound of silence. Really, is exactly what I would translate it in Hebrew. When God speaks, all right, when God speaks. But was it broken? Was it calm? Was he drawing them near? Absolutely. Was it authoritative? I would say yes. Empowering? Yes. Instructive? Not reactionary, but instructive, I would say. All right, so we read a little bit about Acts 9 when God did occur to Saul and he spoke to him in that story and how the Lord came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's such a powerful, why are you persecuting me? He heard a voice saying, fell to the ground, heard the voice saying, and he said, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Yeshua, and gives him his assignment. And later, who is the one who says, Hineni? Not Paul here, but Ananias. Ananias. How would you like it if you were told he's 3 days, Paul couldn't see, now there was a disciple, Acts 9:10, Ananias of Damascus, and the Lord said to him, Ananias, and he said, Hineni, Lord, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, get up and go to a street named Straight and ask in the house of Judah of someone from Tarsus named Saul, for look, he is praying. Saul, at that time Saul, he's really probably both names were still his always, Hebrew and Greek, and he's praying. It's not like God changed it. Some believe he changed it, but it was probably both names were still valid. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, laying his hands so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your Kiddushim, your saints in Jerusalem, and how he's authority has authority from the ruling priests to tie up, this is pretty serious, all who call on your name. And so the Lord said, let me give you an extensive resume of Saul, and let me explain to you, take an hour to explain to you why you should do this. Let's sit down. But the Lord said to him, go, go, for he is a choice instrument to carry my name before nations and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So I, Ananias, just being told, just go, I'm not going to explain it, just you have to trust me. And he left and entered into the house. And this is beautiful, and I don't know if you ever noticed this. When he says, laying his hands on Saul, how did he approach him? What did he say to him? Brother Saul. Brother Saul. The Lord Yeshua, the one who appeared to you on the road by which you're going, he sent me. So what a man of faith he was, Ananias. And then the scales fall from as he prays. So he says, brother, he's confessing, you are now a brother in the faith. We are now brothers in the Messiah. And beautiful, beautiful expression. So Samuel had answered in verse 4 the first time. Let's explain Hineni. Let's say Hineni. All right. He answers, Hineni. Guess what? It really means, grant me. grant me. And it's the greatest response to God's call that we can give is Hineni, when the Lord speaks to us, when calls us. It really means enable me, allow me, allow me, enable me. The ability is not in me, but only the willingness is up to me. The willingness, but not the ability. I hope that changes everything that you think about it. Lord, I need your ability to do whatever you're asking me to do. What you see is what you get. Me with my imperfections, my limited abilities, my flaws, my willingness to do, but my willingness to do whatever you ask. So yes, it's like saying, yes, sir, I'm at your disposal, but now enable me, allow me. The power is not in me. Isn't that great? Hineni is not saying, I can do it. It's saying, Lord, I can't do it, grant, but I'm willing to. Grant me, enable me. Isn't that beautiful? Rashi said, Hineni connotes humility and readiness. Humility and readiness. Who else said Hineni to the Lord? Many people, but let me mention in Abraham in Genesis 22, two times he says, Hineni. First to God and then to the angel. When, remember, he's got to sacrifice, asked to sacrifice Yitzchak, his son, and he says, here I am, you know, but he can't do it in his own power. Jacob, in Genesis 31:11 and 46:2, responds twice to the Lord with Hineni, two different times. First to the angel of God and then to God himself. And Moses responds from the burning bush, Hineni. And the Lord speaks to him out of the burning bush. Samuel here, beginning his prophetic mission with this response to God's call, and here. And the prophet Isaiah responds to the voice of the Lord in Isaiah 6:8 when he experiences his vision from God on the throne and the seraphim in the temple. And he responds, Hineni. And then Ananias, we mentioned. So here's my question to me, to you and to me, to all, each one of us. Have I responded, have you responded with Hineni to the Lord when he's called you by name? Or have you or I ignored him, brushed his voice aside? Have I said, like Samuel says here, speak, and he's told, as he's coached by Eli, speak for your servant is listening. Speak for your servant. Or does the Lord get a recording, leave a message, or try again, please try again later. We want to respond with, yes, Lord. Let's watch play a little song. Miranda's going to get together here for her. She's got it ready. We're going to play a little song by Leonard Cohen, which I hope he had a real revelation of Yeshua. He said some great things about him. Let's just hear this song. I didn't even know it. Never heard of it before. It's called You Want It Darker, but it's about Hineni.
Idle claim. You want it darker. we kill the flame. They're lining up the prisoners and the guards are taking aim. I struggled with some demons, they were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker?
Powerful, isn't it? How many had known that song? Familiar with that song? It's just a few of us, are you? Really, from his very last album, Michael? Wow. Well, I know he passed away just this last year, was it? Yeah, not too long ago. And so we pray he had that revelation of Messiah. But wow. So, you know, and even as we respond to God with Hineni, when he calls us by name, did you know that God will also respond to us with Hineni when we call on his name? Isaiah, listen to these verses. Isaiah 52:6, therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who will be saying Hineni. Then Isaiah 58:9, then you will call and Adonai will answer. You will cry and he will say Hineni. Isaiah 65:1, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, Hineni, Hineni, to a nation not called by my name. I used to share that in my testimony. Think of that verse, because I felt I wasn't looking for God, but he finds us, you know. God wants to use you. God wants to use each one of us. He wants to inhabit and work through us and reveal his glory. He says, allow me to help you. Let me take over your life. Grant me, it's a word, a meaning, grant me access to your dark and hidden areas, to take over your fears, to purge your sins, and to take control. God says to you this morning, Hineni, Hineni. Five times God called Samuel by name, and five times Samuel responded with Hineni. Verse 10, he says he called as at other times, Shmuel, Shmuel. Did God say his name twice in each of the three earlier times? We don't know. But he responded, speak, Dever ki Shemea avdecha. Speak, for your servant is listening. And look at verses 11 to 14, and I'll finish here. But in 1 Samuel 3, 11 through 14, the message that he gives, the first message he gives Samuel, is not a good one. He says, behold, I'm about to do something in Israel that both ears of everyone who hears will tingle. I'll perform against Eli what I've spoken concerning his house. Remember how he didn't, what his sons did, and he didn't stop them. For I've told him, oh, there it says here, I will told him that I will about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which that he knew about because his sons brought a curse on themselves, yet he did not rebuke them. They were said equivalent to the, in some ways, maybe to the Me Too movement, to the whole, just how they were abusing their office, their authority, they taking advantage of others with the sacrifices, horrible things, lots of horrible things. The rabbis say they don't even like to even talk about it. It was so bad. And he didn't stop them. And so God's going to bring a judgment. But Samuel was afraid. Look at verse 15. But Samuel was afraid, second part of the verse, to tell Eli about the vision. Well, I would have been too. You would have been too. And so Eli calls Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, here. And he says, he's a fifth time, hineni. What is the word that he's spoken to you, that God's spoken to you? What's the word? Please don't hide it from me. May God do to you. And so Samuel, verse 18, told him everything, every word, it says, hid nothing. And Eli said, he's the Lord. May he do what is good in his eyes. He submits to God's judgment here. And as a result, verse 19, Samuel grew up, and Adonai was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was entrusted as a prophet of Adonai. The Lord appeared to him once more. And so the first message God gives to Samuel to convey is a bad one. Not a nice, encouraging one, but one of judgment. The calamity to come to Eli's house, it probably refers to the capture of the Ark of God would happen. God did not make it easy on Samuel, but he made it difficult. And we could look at the lives of Moses and Mordecai and Esther, Jonah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Peter, Saul, also not given favorable or easy messages to deliver. If Samuel could complete this first tough task, God would promote him. He would continue to mature. Remember, the word means to mature, to progress, to expand. Really, to expand and increase, to fulfill his divinely ordained purpose. And so the first job God gives us when we respond to his call is not an easy one. But if we complete it, we will advance and grow. And we need to communicate the bad news as well as the good news. You know that as parents. You know that as, and it's true with sharing the gospel. Whether it's raising our children and communicating the gospel, we face the reality. You have to say the bad with the good. Face the reality of our sin and need. And so we can give the solution, the sickness and the separation from God. And so that we can give the remedy. To take the remedy of repentance and being healed by the Lord. And so Samuel's afraid to give this message. We're human and we need God's power to give. Remember, we need God's power to do what he's told us to do. How many believe that? We don't have the power in ourselves. We need to depend upon him, and through him, he can do it. It's our willingness to fulfill that assignment he's given you. Samuel told him all the words. Samuel, and the word Gadal, let's say Gadal, that's that word we taught a few weeks ago. Gadal, it's to increase, to expand. The Lord was with him. It's verse 19 here used again. He was with him. He let none of his words fall to the ground. And so, again, in other words, everything he said actually would happen and would be fulfilled. In order to increase and to expand, to be elevated into your position, your calling, you must be willing to do the difficult, unpleasant task, even to be disliked sometimes, right? We want everybody to like us. But we have to, whatever it is, it's not always going to be that way, but sometimes it's the first thing. And so are you ready to say hineni to the Lord? Are you ready? Amen. Today, say it. Thank you, Lord. We want to say hineni to you, Lord.